So it was eye-opening in a lot of ways because people decided they should try and destroy my life, essentially, get me fired so that I can't provide for my family because they didn't agree with my opinion. You are listening to the England Rugby Podcast, O2 Inside Line, and I'm Courtney Laws. My name is Courtney Laws and I play for Northampton Saints and England Rugby. I am a number six or blindside flanker. The main role of a six nowadays is to fill any weaknesses in your pack. There's lots of different types of blindside flankers, all with different skill sets, and it's a bit of a like utility role, but generally you have to have a pretty good engine. Generally has to be a pretty physical player, and nowadays he has to be a pretty good line-out option as well. I suppose I was pretty quiet growing up, I think, is what my parents probably described me at. I was just pretty normal kid, you know, working class background, enjoyed school, lots of friends, like I wasn't really academic or anything, but I loved playing all kind of sports growing up. So yeah, I was just a pretty sporty kid, you know, hang around at the park and play a load of football and get in a bit of trouble here and there. So no, it's good fun. I grew up in St James or Duston area in Northampton. Franklin's Gardens is in St James. And my mum lives on the Weedon Road, which is on the same road as Franklin's Garden. Pretty working class area. A lot of kind of hardworking people living around there. So there's like a little place up the road called The Green, which is a bit of a cul-de-sac with a big grassy area that we all used to play football on, and a lot of my mates used to live around that little patch. My first sport was football when I was about eight. I started, then kind of picked up tennis, and then played most sports, you know, little bits here and there, but mainly kind of football and a little bit of tennis, and then picked up rugby when I was about 13. Enjoyed it straight away. Really enjoyed the kind of physical element. I didn't really have a clue what rugby was, and then I went to Northampton School for Boys, a really good school in Northampton, especially considering it's a state school. They were just having rugby trials, so I thought I'd give it a crack, and yeah, I really enjoyed it and just kind of went on from there. And there was lots of people that kind of, you know, helped me learn what rugby was and what you had to do as a rugby player, you know, how you tackle, carry, pass, all that kind of stuff. Starting with probably Paul Bryant, who was my PE teacher, or the guy, the rugby coach at the time, and then Norman Barker, who sadly passed a couple of years ago now. They were the main ones starting off, and then a couple of years later when I joined Northampton Old Scouts, my coach there was Chris Parr. He was, yeah, a big part of developing me as a rugby player. My mum was born in Northampton, and my dad was born in Jamaica, and then my dad was working as a mechanic down in London, and my mum's been a prison officer her whole life pretty much, so they're both doing that in Hackney. And then when I was four, we moved back up to Northampton. I've always kind of just been happy being me. I'm not really loud or anything like that, so most lunches I'd spend, you know, either playing football or playing touch rugby or whatever, and that was what I loved to do. So I was very sports focused regardless of kind of what was going on. But yeah, I was generally still relatively quiet, but just enjoyed company of others as well. I had a lot of different kind of friendship groups because I was playing football there, I was playing rugby there, and there wasn't loads of crossover in terms of players and stuff like that. And then obviously I had friends outside of that from classroom stuff or whatever. So yeah, I really enjoyed being able to kind of knock around with lots of different kinds of people from all different backgrounds. Really enjoyed Northampton School for Boys, and obviously it went a long way in terms of making me the person I am today.
Oh, he was hit hard on the shoulder by Courtney Laws.
That was a big hit by Laws on part of it, but every ounce of that hit going in.
My name is Paul Bryant. I'm a retired teacher from Northampton School for Boys, where I taught and coached Courtney rugby from the age of 13 to 16. Very successfully, we did well. Courtney was a lean, strong, fast athlete. Very, very eager at all games. Courtney has always been extremely keen and motivated to do well at sport. Very aggressive at rugby. Great hands, great eye and hand coordination. all the elements were there from the age of 13. Although he has a really calm and easygoing nature, when he's focused, he's on it. He's always been an honest, hard-working young man, willing to give of his best to be his best, and as we've seen as he's progressed through his career, developed a really strong sense of leadership, mainly through example and from the front. His timing and his power in the tackle was lethal from an early age. That was almost instinctive. He was a brilliant tackler from the get-go. So that was, you know, that was a pleasure to watch and still is. It's his basic humility. He has time for anyone and everyone. You know, he's turned from a super potential athlete and rugby player when I was dealing with him at school to a superman. Super guys make good rugby players, and Courtney epitomizes that.
My name is Chris Parr. I've known Courtney since he was about 15 years old when I was his club coach at Northampton Old Scouts Rugby Club. At that time, you could have played him anywhere on the pitch, really. And in fact, when he first started, like a lot of young kids who've just started, they were put out on the wing. The credit for what he's done sits 95% with Courtney Laws and the unbelievable amount of hard work he's put in over the years to achieve a standard and to improve upon that standard year on year. It's just fantastic to watch a guy who, as a family, we can call a friend, to achieve what he's actually done.
Laws is in there as well. He can get the penalty. That was great work by the two big men on the floor at the moment.
Think back to a similar stage in last week's test with everything at stake. Courtney Laws coming up with key turnovers. He really is a phenomenon these days.
I wouldn't have even known probably what rugby was if I hadn't have gone to Northampton School for Boys. So state schools don't really run rugby and stuff like that. You just don't even really think about it, to be honest. So yeah, I was quite lucky to have stumbled across rugby when I did, and still having the opportunity to be young enough and improve quick enough to, you know, make it a career. It's very much a middle class, upper class kind of sport, but all the people in rugby are extremely nice. You get some really great characters. It's starting to change where a lot more people are starting to come from different kind of backgrounds. And I think that making it more accessible to more working class people is only going to help the sport, because not only will the fan base grow, because the more kids that get into it, the more families are going to watch it and whatnot, but also the better players we're going to find and the more competition for places we're going to have, which is going to improve the sport as a whole. So I think it's very important that we do start to open this sport out up to all sorts of different people from different kind of economic backgrounds and whatnot. It shouldn't be a factor into, you know, whether you can or cannot become a rugby player. It should be more about if you're good enough, essentially. But having said that, it's not like the game's a bad place because of how it has been or whatnot. It's just about making it accessible for everyone. Rugby back then, you had very different group of people playing rugby than you would do playing football and stuff like that. So it's just good to be able to get to know lots of different people from different backgrounds, I think. In terms of that kind of stuff, my teacher, Norman Barker, who, you know, I must have only been playing rugby for about a month, he made me tell him that I'm going to play for England. That was quite an impactful thing to go through. And obviously, I don't know what kind of hindsight he had to be able to tell that from such an early point in my career. But yeah, fair play to him. He obviously saw it in me. Norman's a big person in Northampton. He's helped an incredible amount of people with their rugby careers and things like that. So obviously that kind of experience helps. But yeah, I mean, you don't know how many people he told that to, but it's a pretty cool thing to have happen to you and to be able to live up to it as well, you know. Growing up in a proper family unit was very important for me. I've got a little brother, but he's 8 years younger. So I grew up pretty much an only child, well, for nearly 9 years of my life. And then growing up, I'm doing a lot of different things to my little brother because there's such a big age gap. And obviously having a stable family unit was pretty crucial for keeping me on track in terms of, you know, studies, not getting into too much trouble, keeping my head down and working hard with my sports and stuff like that. Could have been a very different story if I didn't have that stable upbringing. Northampton's, you know, it's not London or anything like that. There's not tons of gangs going around, but there's plenty of trouble that you can get into if you want to. You know, and I've seen my fair share of it. But I think just having that stability to go home to just means that you never really jump fully into that chaos. So yeah, I think, yeah, there was many different paths you could go down if you wanted to in Northampton. Coming up in that kind of background, especially now in hindsight, makes you understand how important it is to provide that for my kids. And obviously I've got four little ones, got my oldest is a girl, and then I've got three boys. It's really important for me to try and give to them what I had, basically, and more, you know, because nothing is perfect, and all you can try and do is improve on it and give them the opportunities and the rest that I kind of had. Obviously, you got another little person to look after now, but also it kind of clears the fog, you know, when stuff is going wrong, it's not so impactful. You understand that there's now bigger things for you to worry about than just, you know, what happens on a rugby pitch or what you get wrong or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it gives you a kind of an anchor to rely on in terms of kind of mentally and emotionally and stuff like that. My dad's had two children from another wife that he's not been able to. He's still been there for them, but it's just not been the same stable family unit. And they've grown up in Northampton, especially with my brother, with my sister. She was able to keep her head down a bit better, but Lemuel's had a really tough life, probably because he didn't have, or at least contributed to not having that stable background and that bedrock that you a lot of times need when, you know, you come from a tougher upbringing and there's plenty of things that you can kind of trip over and get into trouble with. So that's the reason, because I've seen it firsthand. I got a lot of backlash, but I still stand by what I said. And I think it's important to talk about.
My name is Jessica Laws and I am Courtney Laws' wife. Courtney and I met before an Australia tour around 12 years ago, so we've been together for around 12 or 13 years now. We met very briefly through friends, and then we met first properly on a date. I thought he was particularly calm for a first date, but very kind and a bit of a gentle giant, so he won me over kind of straight away. He's always been really caring and kind and very considered in everything that he does. And that absolutely hasn't changed. He's still very much the same. Obviously, we've got children now. We've got four children. And he's a great dad because of those qualities. He's always very calm in the not so calm situations. He's away a lot, but when he's home, he's very present. And he is a wonderful dad. So yeah, we had Nell, Teddy, Hugo and Otto relatively young. They've seen a lot of his career and he's just had his 100th cap and they were able to go on the pitch with him and it was just brilliant. I think the thing about Courtney, which a lot of people that know him will understand, is that he doesn't just say things on a whim. If he wants to say something, he will have considered both sides. He will have looked into people's opinions, why it's that way and the reasons behind it. And then he'll make a judgment on it. He's extremely hard to argue with. Courtney posted a tweet showing his views that he felt that people should consider being married before having children. And he tweeted something of that sort. And then there was a bit of backlash that came with it. But yeah, he still stands by his views and we completely stand by him as well.
I was somewhat surprised at how angry some people were at what I said, because I didn't actually think what I said was that offensive. I didn't think that saying, you know, it's better for children to grow up in a family unit was so controversial. It was a bit surprising, but I understand why, because it wasn't the right time to say it. So, you know, you take it on the chin. It was eye-opening in a lot of ways, because I'd said something that people didn't like, and thus people decided they should try and destroy my life, essentially, get me fired so that I can't provide for my family because they didn't agree with my opinion. These are the kind of people that think they have the moral high ground, which is what opened my eyes. They think they're good people for trying to ruin someone's life because they didn't like what that person said. I hadn't hurt anybody. I hadn't done anything to harm anyone. I just said something that people didn't agree with. And you can call me what you want. You can say what you want about me. Doesn't matter. But you're writing emails to my employer trying to get me fired is, well, so it kind of speaks for itself, I think. To what kind of person you are, just because I've said something that you don't like. I encourage people to form an opinion, but based on, you know, kind of good research. We all kind of jump to conclusions sometimes and we haven't got all the information. So as long as you understand exactly what you're talking about and you've had time to process it and understand why you feel a certain way about a certain thing, then I feel like you should definitely be able to voice that opinion regardless of whether people are going to be offended by it, because everybody's offended by something nowadays, or whether, you know, whether you just want to get it off your chest kind of thing. So if you feel a type of way and you understand why, you should be able to share it, yeah. It opens your eyes to how maybe short-sighted a lot of people are and how many people do not want to have a conversation about things anymore. They just want to not like what you've said and go after you or bombard you with insults or whatever. They don't want to actually have a conversation and say, well, you know, I don't agree with you and this is why. So yeah, I learned a lot, but, you know, I'll continue to say what I want to say. Luckily for me that, you know, Saints were really good. Obviously, like, I've been there a long time and whatnot, but they took the standpoint of you should be able to say what you want to say. I did lose some sponsorship over it, but I got more out of it, actually. So, you know, it worked its way out on that. And luckily, I started working with a couple of organisations to try and help get different messages across and, you know, help with all sorts of different bits, to be honest, which was really good. I've had very positive experiences during rugby. I've only ever experienced racism once, and that was right at the start of my career, and it was squashed pretty quickly by the people around. I didn't have to deal with it. I'm not in a place to say, you know, rugby is not racist and all this kind of stuff, because I've only ever been at Saints. I think that if you experience racism in rugby, then you should name the people who have done it, because it's not acceptable in the sport, period. If that happened anywhere at any club, I wouldn't even expect to have to deal with it myself. I'd expect my peers to deal with that, because from my experience, my knowledge, obviously only being at Saints, that stuff just wouldn't go down. It wouldn't be accepted and it would be dealt with very quickly. I'm less interested, honestly, in the race aspect and much more interested in the social economic aspect. You're going to get more different ethnicities in rugby if you just open it up and make it a sport that anybody, no matter how much your mum and dad earn, can play and participate in. And so you'll see more people like me, Genji, you know, them kind of boys, Benno, that come from working-class backgrounds and that look a bit different. Doesn't mean we are different. We just are not the same colour, do you know what I mean? So I'm much less worried about the colour of your skin to what background. Open it up to all kind of different people, not just different colour people kind of thing. The main thing is, if we want to actually make a change and make it an open sport, we need to kind of change the curriculum, because most state schools just don't play rugby. In that lies the problem. So if we want to change the amount of people coming in from different backgrounds, we need to change the amount of people that are getting access to the sport. It's one of them things, because you hope you inspire the kind of next generation, but I don't want to be just inspiring people who are the same colour as me. I want to inspire just the next generation in general, whoever that is. If you can see yourself in me in any way, whether that be colour, background, what you're into, type of player you are, position, then that's all you can do. Do you know what I mean? So I want a much broader brush in terms of who is inspired by me. It shouldn't just be inspired by people you look like. You should be inspired by people who are actually like you.
Godman. What a tackle from Courtney Laws. Just lined him up and cut him in half.
Courtney Laws doing what he does best.
That was a Courtney Laws special.
I'm Freddie Stewards and I play for Leicester Tigers in England. Courtney Laws, leader with words and actions. He's one of the toughest blokes I've ever met. I remember the tour in Australia, the way he hit some of those Aussie boys. From fullback, you can really hear the impacts, and it was something else. He is a guy that just empties the tank every time he plays, and he brings the boys with him.
My name's Ollie Lawrence. I play for Bath and England Rugby. Courtney's a quiet but interesting character. Courtney is one of those players where his actions are louder than his words. He's one of those players where you look up to him and be like, you know he's going to be there no matter what. He's incredibly funny, and when you really get to know him and speak to him, he's a really nice person.
Being named captain was it was class. I captained in the autumn, but it wasn't kind of set in stone. It was just because Owen was injured, and then I captained for the first time being like official captain in the summer, and yeah, I just had a great time. I was surprised because obviously me and Farrell have always worked well together, with him being skipper and me being kind of vice or whatnot. And then yeah, Eddie decided to switch it up, which was awesome. And I think, you know, Faz was class. The kind of leadership team at the time was me, Faz, Genji and Jack Noel. We all worked really well together. So it was a massive honour for me, pretty unexpected because of the relationship me and Owen have, which is a really good one. I think regardless of whether who's skipping and who's next in line, it doesn't really matter. We all support each other. It was awesome to be a captain on tour and win something, you know. Not every player gets to be captain and win something. So that was really special, yeah. I guess I'm a kind of lead by example type of leader. I don't say loads, only really speak when I need to, when I feel like I need to. And yeah, that works for me. I think that kind of been playing at this level for such a long time now that people don't need to hear you speak all the time. They just want to kind of follow you. So yeah, just try and make sure that I'm in the place where I can perform and then try and lead the way. It just kind of flies by. Got my debut when I was 20. And yeah, I've been in the team every year since up until now. So the main thing for me is just having the drive to improve. Don't think I'll ever feel like I've been the player that I want to be. I think that's why I've been able to kind of stay at this level for this amount of time. I've always felt like I can do things that you see some of the best players in the world do. I'm not saying that I don't do these things from time to time, but I just want to do them way more consistently. I think that's the same for pretty much everybody, every good player. You know, there's always time. Maybe I'll get there.